club football, he pisses all over him. So
yeah. It's just Messi. We all know what Messi can do.
A lot of flair, a lot of skill.
People might forget the names, but the streets certainly won't.
Hello, people, and welcome back to another episode of the FT LOL podcast. Welcome back to another feature session. In this one, we've got a man who's played 10 seasons of Premier League football, best known for spells at Bolton and Blackburn. We have Mr. Andy Todd joining us. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, good, Jack. Thank you. How are you?
Good stuff. Yeah, I'm good.
Good, good.
Enjoying it. As we were saying before, as well, I'm an Arsenal fan, so
yeah,
things are going well from that perspective too.
Yeah, good.
How are you finding things in general? All good?
Yes, all good. Thanks, Jack. Yeah.
Yeah,
very good. Thank you.
All right. So, we're going to talk about your team and talk about the best 11 and players you played with. But before we get into that, if we take it right back. So growing up, we've had footballers on before, but as I was saying, what we've never had is a footballer's son as well, which is quite interesting. I mean, what was that like?
It was no different to probably any other relationship, father and son, Jack, to be honest. I grew up not really knowing who or what my father really was. I knew he played football, but when I was young, I wasn't that interested in football. I used to go to certain games and would have no idea about my dad's playing career or his history. And I never used to watch the games because I was about 4, 5, 6. I wasn't really interested in football. And I used to go to games and I'd run around the terraces or run around the concourse and not watch his games. And I think growing up back then, they probably just weren't, they didn't have the celebrity status that they probably do nowadays. So he was just a normal dad. And I grew up with Scott Gemmell, whose dad was also famous.
Yeah.
And like, we just didn't know. We weren't aware of their achievements, or even as I got older to 12, 13, I obviously knew my dad was a footballer, but I didn't realise, you know, the achievements him and Scott's dad Archie had at Derby, you know, winning two titles, getting to a semi-final of European Cups. And obviously Archie scored one of the best World Cup goals ever over in Argentina against Holland, I think. And obviously my dad represented England 27 times. It was no different, Jack. We used to just have a kick about on the playing fields. Me and my brother with my dad, Scott would join in, and it was just everything was just normal. And like I say, I couldn't really remember too much of his career when I was younger. It's only obviously lately you realise, or as I got older, sorry, how good he was.
Mm. Yeah, because when you were born as well, he probably had his best season.
Yes, so, I actually watched something on YouTube last night. He had an interview with Rams TV at Derby, and they said he won the Players' Player of the Year in 75, but I thought it was 74, which was the year I was born, so he won the Players' Player of the Year.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you might be able to clarify that, but I thought it was 74. But the podcast, the interview last night I watched was 75.
I think becoming, I don't know, are you the oldest?
I'm the youngest. My brother's 4 years. Yeah, he's 4 years older. So he was more into football as we were growing up and more interested in dad and how his career was going, and would go and sit and watch the games where I was young and a bit crazy, like running around the terraces.
That's interesting, because I guess it can go either way. So did you have a team growing up necessarily, or did you just support kind of who your dad played for, or not even to that extent?
Well, when I was young and I lived in Derby, It was only as I left Derby to move up to the northeast of England, I started playing football. So I was about 8, 9.
Okay.
And I just got in the school team at Portway Junior School in Alice Street. And then my dad had he went to Vancouver Whitecaps for a few months. So we moved there. And then as soon as we come back, we move up to the northeast of England, where we lived in between Sunderland, Newcastle and Middlesbrough. So as I started getting into football, me and my friends would jump on the bus and whoever was at home, Newcastle, Sunderland, we'd go to them two games or either game.
Yeah.
But then my dad and Bruce Rioch took over Middlesbrough. At the time, they were going into liquidation. And he just had got the job and the club was close to folding. So me and my brother from that day on became quite keen Middlesbrough fans purely to back my dad because I became more interested in it. And I loved the fact that Middlesbrough had all local boys playing for them and the supporters were really good and they were getting behind the fact that, you know, the club was close to going out of existence. Yeah. And so me and my brother were like, we were travelling all over the country to watch Middlesbrough. So, I was a keen Middlesbrough fan. Growing up, I'd stand on the Holgate end at home games. And I remember one day me and my brother got on the bus at about, must have been about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to go down to Brighton.
Yeah,
I mean, it was worth it. I'm pretty sure Bernie Slaven scored a hat-trick that day down at Brighton. So we loved it. There'd be a couple of us go. If we didn't get the bus, a friend's dad would drive us to the games and we were always at the home games. So, you know, I have a soft spot for Middlesbrough and everything went on at that time in Middlesbrough's history. You know, it was incredible what they did. Yeah. Nearly going out of existence to winning the League Two, well, getting promoted to, now it was the old second division and then straight away again, a promotion again to Division One, which is now the Premier League. In succession, it was an incredible story, and like I just remember the Ayresome Park. I don't know if anyone can remember Ayresome Park. Like the atmosphere was electric, especially evening games, and some of the games they had and involved with, like the player. I loved all the players at that time, like Mowbray, Pallister, Cooper, Parkinson, Bernie Slaven, one of the best finishers I've seen. And like the most,
I didn't realize all them names at that point.
I like Stephen Pears in goal, like Mowbray. I had a picture of him on my wall, and like Mowbray and the rest of the team, they had this character about them that got them through, and obviously ability as well. But I just used to get so excited to go to watch Middlesbrough, especially at home. There was just something special about them times at Ayresome Park. I ended up being quite a keen Middlesbrough fan. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've got some family up near Middlesbrough actually, so they're Middlesbrough fans as well. So I've got, yeah, I suppose, a bit of a soft spot for them, yeah, myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them names you mentioned kind of throughout the years, a bit later on, and kind of when you were there as well, they managed to attract names that like you wouldn't think a club the size of Middlesbrough could do, but yeah, there must be something special up there.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously left school and ended up doing my YTS at Middlesbrough, and obviously my dad had just left as manager, then Lenny Lawrence come in, and then obviously the revolution, Brian Robson took over and they moved to the new stadium, and you know, we started bringing in all these Brazilian players. Off the first one was a Bolivian player. I actually started off with a German coming in, Uwe Fuchs, and we were like, "Wow, this German player coming over," and he come, and it then just spiraled. Like all these top international players started to come, but then sadly, I left. I think a year after Brian took over to go to Bolton. So, but. Obviously, look back at my time at Middlesbrough, and I loved every minute of it. You know, I didn't play a lot of games. I wasn't involved heavily with the first team. But my time there, like from my first day to my last day, some of the best moments of my career. Not obviously playing, but, you know, the camaraderie, the team spirit we had in the dressing room, all the Middlesbrough boys, all the local, but most of us were local apart from a few of the boys from Northern Ireland and the Republic. It was just brilliant time to, you know, to be at the club.
Is it quite a young side then when you were there?
Well, when I played for the first team, Brian obviously signed the likes of Nigel Pearson, who was experienced, Alan Miller, the late Alan Miller, who sadly passed away. He came in from Arsenal. Neil Cox was a young right back from Villa. So he mixed it up a little bit, Brian. So, but the dressing room I was in was all the young pros, and them days were brilliant. Like, obviously what went on back in the day, you wouldn't get away with nowadays, but yeah, it was special times, man. Really good.
Yeah, and then you went to Bolton and you played under your dad.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Is that a hindrance? Is that a help?
It was, looking back at it now, it was the best decision I made, Jack. It was actually Roy McFarland that signed me, him and my dad were joint managers.
Yeah.
And I'd played against Roy for Swindon. I was on loan at Swindon from Middlesbrough. And Roy was manager of Derby, and I played against Derby, and I'd an all right game for a young 19-year-old. And Roy actually wanted to sign me. I don't think my dad was that keen on signing me. And I was like, I needed to get away from Middlesbrough to have a change, and probably get away from my friends. I had to think about my career a little bit more than I was at Middlesbrough. I was a little bit lost. So I went to Bolton, and it turned out to be the best decision I made. But oh my word, it was the hardest thing, like working under my dad. I think he found it tough as well. But, you know, I had to train extra hard. I had to play even better to even, you know, stay in the team. It was tough, and I used to get some stick. But yeah. I think I needed it at the time, Jack. I needed him to be on top of me, and he cared about my career. He wanted me to be successful, and he had to press certain buttons to get me to realise that, you know, I did have a little bit of potential, where at the time I was thinking, I'm not sure which direction my career is going here. I was a little bit immature, and I suddenly grew up a little bit, you know. But it was very tough, you know. I used to get a little bit of stick, and, you know, you're the son of the manager. It's, you know, it's tricky.
Even right,
it's tricky
down to
Sunday
League, you get stick for that sort of stuff. So I guess,
yeah, yeah.
I guess it, at the level of First Division, Premier League, then,
yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get that. But, I mean, yeah, I guess he would have been
he was tough.
Influence on your career. And,
yeah, he was tough on me. And I think people thought I was there only because of my dad, and I was only going to play because of my dad. My dad would never have played me if I wasn't good enough. Some games I wasn't, and I was left out, and rightly so. I became a bit of a squad player at first, and there was better players ahead of me. My dad would never, he would never just have, you know, jeopardise his own job to play me. So I didn't get any special treatment. It was the other way. It was tough.
Yeah, I can imagine, because it's not like, you know, if you've got an office job, for example, and you hire your son, you know, and there's a bit of nepotism there, you're not going to get fired if,
yeah, you
know, if his performance backfires. But in football management, it's not like that. The stakes are very high, so he couldn't afford to do that, could he, really?
No. I think he did find it tough himself. You know, maybe he was thinking, do I don't play him because I was purely his son. But, it was good for me. I became thick-skinned. You heard certain things on the terraces and, you know, heard certain things in the dressing room, and you become thick-skinned for it all. And like I say, it was the making of me a little bit. So thanks to Roy McFarland, who signed me. Yeah,
and you got, because that Bolton side, that got promotion, didn't it, to the Premier League. Was that your So your first or second season, something like that?
I think the first season I went was in the Premier League.
Oh, okay.
So, we got relegated straight back down. That was at Burnden Park. The next season, my dad, he signed two Danish players, Per Frantz and Michael Johansson. He already had the nucleus of a very good squad, like Chris Fairclough, Jerry Taggart, Jimmy Phillips, Gundy Bergson, Scott Sellers, unbelievable player, Nathan Blake and John McGinley, who were scoring goals for fun. Alan Thompson, Michael, and like I say, the two Danish boys, they had a very good squad. And, they just walked the league the following season. I think they got 100 points. I mean, some of the football they played was outstanding. And, like, the players as well. You know, you had a very good blend of some good physical players, some good technical players, some good pace and power. It was just and that was at the old Burnden Park. So, yeah, they bounced straight back to the Premier League. I didn't play many games, to be honest with you, Jack. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't ready. And I wasn't certainly going to display, take Jerry Taggart or Chris Fairclough's position. They were streets better than me at the time. Promoted back to the Premier League straight away.
Yeah. Would you say that's your proudest achievement, or because of your kind of appearances there, it's something else?
My proudest time at Bolton or in my career?
Just in general, in your career.
I had some good moments in my career, Jack, but I look back and I probably look at the negatives of my career, Jack, and don't really look at the positives, but my time at Bolton was a great one. Like I said earlier on, it was the best decision I made. I didn't think it at the time, but looking back, joining Bolton under my dad, it's what I needed at that time of my career.
Yeah, and you did the strange thing of playing for Bolton, Blackburn and Burnley.
I don't know anyone
else that's done that. What's the
What's
that rivalry like? Where does that rank? I've heard Blackburn Burnley one's pretty tasty.
Yeah, the Blackburn Bolton one is obviously a Lancashire derby, but it's not as fierce as the Blackburn Burnley.
Did you play in many of those? Because they weren't really in the same.
We played. I played Bolton Blackburn twice.
Yeah.
In the Premier League. And then Blackburn Burnley in the FA Cup. We drew 0-0 at Turf Moor. And I missed the second leg. I think I had a one-game suspension for the return leg. And we beat them. I think maybe it's 2-1. Or I can't remember. I think Morten Gams-Pedersen smashed one in. It was a fierce contested derby. Like, you know, there's a bit of needle there. And I played for all three clubs. Yeah, I didn't realise. I don't know if there's many players that actually done that. But I had a month on loan at Burnley.
I can't think of any other ones. I think there's a few that maybe done Bolton and Burnley in the mix as well.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. A friend of mine, Robbie Blake, he played for Burnley and Bolton, but yeah, not Blackburn.
Okay. If we get into your team then, what formation are you going to
I didn't really think of formation. I did a little bit because I thought about getting two very good strikers in that I played with. So, and I just kept it pretty simple, Jack. I went just to 4-4-2 really, just to get these two strikers in that I played with. So, I'm sure we could change the system if you wanted to, but,
I can imagine who they might be, but,
you might be surprised.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Who do you think? Who do you think I would have put in as my strikers?
Dwight Yorke and Andy Cole.
No, not them two. Okay. That's interesting because I have got Dwight and Andy down, who were unbelievable strikers. Like, what a great combination and two great guys who I did enjoy playing with. But at the time they were at Blackburn, I think they'd had the better days at Man United and
Blackburn. Yeah.
So I went with players who I thought were better that I played with during my time with them. But Coley and Yorkie, two great guys, unbelievable strikers. I mean, what a partnership. I don't think you see them partnerships anymore, do you?
No, you don't really. But I'm glad you're doing it this way actually, because we would get an insight into players that maybe there's some players doing this where I thought, oh, okay, I thought they were good, but hearing people talk about them, you sort of realise, okay, how good they actually are. And I've had a few that have sort of appeared on multiple lists as well. So it'd be interesting to see. Yeah. See who you've got in yours. So, who's in goal for you?
So, I played with some decent, very good goalkeepers. One was Jussi Jäskeläinen. I mean, even Dean Kiely at the time at Charlton was, he was on fire at the time. I was at Charlton, but the one that stood out quite clearly was Brad Friedel. At the time, and like I say, I played with him a lot, and I mean, he was outstanding, Brad. He got better as he got older. He was just an outstanding goalkeeper and an unbelievable professional who did everything right and, got his rewards because he was a top class goalkeeper. And at Blackburn at the time, he was just some of the saves he was making, and we just knew if we made a mistake as defenders that, Brad had every chance to bail us out. And most times he did. So in goal would be Brad Friedel. Jäskeläinen I only played with when he was younger, but he was an exceptional goalkeeper. Alan Miller, Blackburn. Dean Charlton was a very, very good goalkeeper at that time. But like I say, I don't think anyone could argue with I'd choose Brad Friedel as my goalkeeper.
Yeah, I mean, from watching him, this is certainly one that sort of, when I was growing up, was one of the main goalkeepers in the Premier League, really. And he seemed to have a bit of a presence about him as well, not just a shot stopper.
No, yeah, he was tough as well, Jack. He mentally tough. He was, he was physically good. Good talker and, a good team player as well. He wanted the best for his teammates and, a really, really top goalkeeper. And I think he went to Spurs
Villa then. I think when he ended up at Spurs, he was about 40 years old at that point.
But
and I think he did start in goal over Lloris at the start. So
Right. Yeah. Wow, I mean, like I say, he got better as he got older because he was at Liverpool early on in his career and it didn't quite work out. And, I suppose it was tough for him coming over from, I think, America to a big club like Liverpool. And, it takes time. And obviously Blackburn certainly saw the best of him. So, Brad is number one.
Okay. So, right back. Are you gone man defence?
Yeah, right back. And again, I'll just throw a few. I played with like Kyle Walker. I went on loan to Northampton towards the end of my career, and Kyle came as an 18-year-old, and like physically 18, he was incredible. We were playing in League One, which was a tough physical league, and his pace, his power, his spring, his attitude, he listened, he wanted to learn. It was no surprise that he went on to have the career he did have. But I only played with Kyle for a month. So, if I'd played with Kyle longer, then I think, Kyle would be playing right back in my team. And also Neil Cox, I played with Neil at Middlesbrough and at Bolton, and do you know what? Consistently, he was a very, very good footballer, but But the player I'm going to play at right back is Lucas Neal. I played with him at Blackburn. He was unbelievably reliable. He had everything really. He could defend. You know, I never saw many wingers give him a tough time. He wanted to defend and he could get forward. He could score goals. He was quick, so he got me out of trouble now and again. And he had this, you know, he was a winner. He had a great mentality and he wanted to win every time he went out. And I thought he was an excellent fullback. So Lucas Neal goes in at right back.
He seems like someone I was a right back as well, but if I was a winger, I'd hate to play against
Luke. He was quick and he was strong and he was durable. He wanted to defend and he seemed to work wingers out quite quick. So he was smart as well. And I don't think anyone relished against him because, you know, he'd let you know you're in for a tough afternoon. And I think as a defender back then, that was part of your job was to try and, you know, stamp a little bit of authority on your opponent. Not so much now, Jack, but back then, Lucas certainly had a little edge to his game. And look, he was great for me to play with because, like I say, he had the pace to cover for me. So, Lucas gets in at fullback.
Okay. Centre backs, are you going to pick yourself?
I'm not going to pick myself, actually, purely because I think these two are probably probably better than me. I mentioned a few names to you before, like Jerry Taggart, who I was playing with at Bolton, and then Chris Fairclough, another one who was a senior player who'd won a league title with Leeds, and I was learning from him. Not verbally, but by watching them and how they defended and what they had to do to defend and to keep clean sheets. And then I played like with Craig Short at Blackburn, Henning Berg, who'd won titles at Man United and at Blackburn.
Yeah.
Like these were like, I thought were outstanding defenders. Even like Paul Warhurst, who could play as a striker and a centre half. Even Richard Rufus at Charlton, who was getting mentioned for England, an England call-up when I was there. Just outstanding centre-backs. But the one who I really enjoyed playing with, who I played it with at two clubs, and he had everything, this guy. He played international football. He played in Italy with Lazio. And my father signed him, I think, from Lazio, was Mark Fish. Like,
he played for Lazio, did he?
I don't know if you can search that quickly. I'm pretty sure Mark, was he at Lazio? I don't know. If you can quickly look there, Jack. I'm sure we signed Mark from...
Yeah, because he's South African.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he play for Lazio?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah, so we signed him, and this guy, he was cool, he was calm in possession, he wanted to play out from the back, he wanted to play football, he'd go on these mazy runs as a centre-back, and you think, where's he going? He was quick, he was good in the air, he would put his body on the line. So Mark Fish gets in at centre-back, and I could just imagine him being outstanding in the modern game now with the way they play out from the back and comfortable with the ball. And I used to love playing with him. I played with him at Bolton and at Charlton. And, well, he was a great lad as well, not just a great footballer, but I had a good relationship with him off the pitch as well. But I pick these players purely on their ability as well. And Mark, I thought was brilliant, you know. He'd make last-ditch tackles, but it was purely how he wanted to play that impressed me more and how brave he was with the ball. So Mark Fish gets in at centre-back.
Yeah, because you don't see that as much back then as now, really. A lot of when you look at sort of the passing stats and stuff now, often the centre backs are coming up top for like most passes and touches and accuracy, but I don't think it was necessarily like that as much
back in the day. I mean, obviously he had a good, you know, obviously playing at Lazio where they would have wanted to play, and my father's team, he wanted us to play. It was different. We didn't, you know, take the chances that they take now, but he would try and encourage us to play and be brave. But I could see Mark, you know, being comfortable enough playing in the modern game. But I just liked how he played and how he carried himself, and he never got ruffled. I didn't see him lose his rag or a fair but honest, hard player as well. I used to really enjoy playing with Mark. So Mark Fish gets in, you know, ahead of Tags and Chrissy Fairclough and Craig Shaw and Tenenberg just because of how he was, you know.
So.
Is he a politician now in South Africa or something? I mean, he was a legend back in South Africa, you know.
Because there wouldn't have been that many. I think Charlton got a lot of them, actually, didn't they get?
We had
Sean Bartlett as well.
Yeah, Sean was an excellent striker. He was, like, really good at the time. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So who's partnering?
So this guy, he came in to Blackburn on trial, and Mark Hughes, our manager at the time, brought him in. I think a couple of centre-backs come in at a time. But this guy came in on trial, and we had a practice game, and he joined in, and I knew how difficult it was to go on trial to a club and play in a practice game. And I said to him, "What position do you play?" He says, "I'm centre-back." I says, "Okay, you're on trial. You play centre-back, and I'll go and play right-back for this game," just so he had the chance to impress. Yeah. And this guy was like, flipping heck. He came over from Washington, D.C. And I thought, wow, this boy's good. And eventually, Mark signed him, and rightly so. This guy stood out, like, with his professionalism, his desire, his hunger to succeed, and the way he carried himself off the pitch as well, which was Ryan Nelson.
Okay, yeah.
When
you said Washington, I was thinking...
Yeah.
American centre-backs, but Ryan Nelson, New Zealand.
I didn't play a lot with him because I at the time, you know, he signed Ryan, and then Stefan Henshaw's come back in. There was myself, and then Chris Samba came in. So I didn't play a lot with Ryan, but, wow, I was really impressed with everything that guy did. And, you know, at the time... When I was playing with him now and again, we were down the bottom of the Premier League, and, you know, we had to, like, stand and basically defend a lot. And Ryan, you could rely on. You know, he was a tough boy. He would, you know, like another defender that put his body on the line to keep a clean sheet or to keep the ball out of the back. And I just think he would, you know, partner Fish quite well. You know, Fish's pace... Ryan, competitive, comfortable enough on the ball. Might be a bit of a surprise to a few, but Ryan Nelson as a player at the time really, really, really impressed me. And unfortunately, he had a couple of bad injuries, but I think he was another one that went to QPR and Spurs, didn't he?
He went to Tottenham as well, yeah. I'm not surprised by the Ryan Nelson shout, to be fair. I thought he was class, especially at Blackburn.
Yeah, no, he was really good, and, you know, like I say, I didn't play with him a lot, but the time I did, I think he deserves to get in ahead of some of the other guys. I just liked the way he played and the way he carried himself, and great guy as well off the pitch. An out pure defender who I admired. So yeah, he gets in. So Mark Fish and Ryan Nelson, two centre-backs.
Nice. Yeah, Blackburn had a bit of a thing for players from Oceania, didn't they, for a bit? Because they had Brett Emerton as well.
Yeah, Brett was there.
I'm sure they had Vince Grella.
He came in after me. Vinny Grella came in after me. Yeah. I didn't play with him.
A couple of others.
Yeah. Obviously, Lucas, Ryan, being from New Zealand, Brett. I can't remember anymore, to be honest, at the time. But yeah, them three. Yeah.
So, left back.
Okay. Yeah, left back. I mean, I played with a very, very good friend of mine who played for his country. I played for Sunderland, Celtic, Blackburn, Leeds. I played with Michael Gray, who, you know, was very reliable, very honest, very fit. And yeah, he was a very good left back. I played with Mike Whitlow, who I thought did very well at Bolton. And then I played with a young left back at Blackburn, who I later played with at Derby. It was a Scouse lad called Jay McEvely, who I thought should have gone on to have a better career. I think he had some bad injuries and probably had a little bit of bad luck. So he was another good left back. Obviously, Michael was outstanding and is a really close friend of mine. But there's just one player that just gets ahead of Michael. Just at the time I was playing with him, also got into the England squad. And he was Mr. Consistent and like very calm and cool and good defender and, you know, athletic. Was Chris Powell, who I played with at Charlton at the time. I was playing with him. You know, Mickey was really good at Blackburn, but I just think when I played with Chris at the time in their careers, I just thought, you know, Chris was just slightly ahead of Michael. And even though I'm really good mates with Mickey, you know, Chrissy Powell, I thought was an excellent left back. So yeah, Chris Powell goes in at left back.
Yeah, that's not the first time he's got a mention on one of these, actually. John Sulaco we had on, he played with him for a little bit. So I don't know if you played with John at Charlton at all, but he had Chris Powell as his left back in his team as well.
Yeah, I played with John at Bolton as well, actually, and Charlton. He came to Bolton for a short spell, and I saw John a few months back here. Where were we? We were at a game somewhere, and John Pop, he used to turn up at a few games I would be at. Nice guy, John. So yeah, just could do with his knees strained up.
So, midfield, how are you playing this?
I mean, I just kept it simple, Jack, like I said to you. I've gone with just two midfielders.
You've got two up front, didn't you?
I go in with two midfielders. You can play 4-4-2, you can play 4-2-3-1 with these two. You can play any system you want with these two footballers. Because my two strikers, they're not out-and-out strikers. One would, you know, play off the front man as well, because they were clever enough and smart enough. But the two midfielders, or the first midfielder, will be no surprise to anyone who this is and would get in everyone's team that he played with him. Was an incredible, an outstanding footballer who had a lot. As in football ability and football brain, was Turgay, a Turkish international. I played with Scott Parker when he burst onto the scene at Charlton, a young, energetic player who had a bit of spite about him. He was, Scotty was, at the time, was incredible. And like, that was no surprise that he had the career he did and has gone on to be an excellent manager as well. And then Per Frandsen. I mean, Turgay and Per had no legs. They couldn't really run, but they were so smart. So they were that clever. They didn't really have to run, if that makes sense. Per was such a clever player. He would set traps for the opposition and intercept balls, and his timing of his runs was incredible. So he was another one. But Turgay, you know, gets ahead of Scotty and Per just because of the amount of times I've played with two guys. Like, he made my job easy. I'd just chest it down to him. I'd give him the ball and he would play one and two touch. You couldn't get near him. You know, his vision, his speed of thought was, his touch, his technique was incredible. So, two guy gets in, he'd be the first on my team sheet.
Yeah, I was going to say, is he the best player that you've played with, would you say?
I think so, yeah. I mean, there's a couple of names coming up who are up there, but and Scott Parker would be, and a few others that I'll mention, but two guy just ridiculous. Like, you know, he wasn't athletic. He didn't go in the gym, you know, and training, he was laid back. But my good God, he, you know, come a match day, he could turn it on. And yeah, I mean, you're talking hundreds of millions for him now. So if he was playing, he was such a good player. And like, so clever. So two guys gets in, he'd be first on my team sheet. So, yeah.
What was he like at training?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't a top trainer. He wasn't a bad trainer. But with a play like two guy, you can train how you want Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
It's what counts on a Saturday. And, you know, two guy was, he was just unbelievable. I don't know what the opposition would try and do with him. I think they'd say, go and press him. And you couldn't get near him, you know. It's just his speed of thought. You play one touch and play round corners. He wouldn't even look at you and he'd know where you were. So, you know, he gets in, like I say, he's first on the team sheet. And I think he'd be first on Graeme Souness's and probably Mark Hughes' team sheet as well. So, yeah, two guy gets in.
Have you got someone in with him?
So, yeah. I went for an attacking midfielder who I played with
yeah.
twice. I played with twice as well. Who, I mean, you might have seen his goal against Arsenal when he was playing for Charlton. I think he chipped the goalkeeper from inside the 18-yard box. This boy had so much talent and attacking ability. It was incredible. My father signed him from Lingby, I think, in Denmark, and he came to Bolton, so I played with him at Bolton and then Charlton. I think Charlton bought him for a couple of million, and this lad was like, his forward runs and his runs off the ball, he would complement two guy really well. Unfortunately, he had some bad injuries himself, and yeah, it probably is, he could have looked after himself a little bit better, but this guy was an incredible footballer. It was Klaus Jensen. Like I say, I played with him at Bolton and Charlton, and his ability was scary. And he was quick as well, actually, when he got going. But it was more how smart he was as well as a footballer. Like, he's running off the ball, he's timing. So I think he would be the perfect fit for two guy who could sit and pull strings, and then you could get Klaus running in beyond or running off the ball. And like, I played with other players similar to Klaus, Stephen Reid, who's a good friend of mine, who was similar, but he had the injuries at Blackburn, so I didn't, you know, see the best of Stephen. And even a guy called John Sheridan, who was very similar to two guys. I played with John at Bolton. He was very similar to two guy, John. His passing was incredible, and his weight of pass and his feel and his vision, he was outstanding. But obviously I went with two guy, and I went with Klaus Jensen to have some legs in the middle of the pitch and for Klaus to get forward, and I didn't want to play with two sitters. So I think Klaus and two guy would be perfect playing together.
Good on set pieces, weren't he, as well?
Klaus would score free kicks, corners, great goals running off the back of people. It was a great knack he had, you know, a bit like Frank Lampard, to be honest. Obviously, he didn't get as many goals, and obviously he wasn't as good as Frank, but at the time I played with him at Bolton and Charlton, I actually played against him when I was at Charlton. We went back to Bolton to play in the cup, and he just had too much for me. I was playing in midfield that day, And he was a smart player, really smart. It's a shame. I think he should have had a better career than he did, actually. He could have played for one of the top Premier League clubs for sure. Injury and maybe his, you know, I think he could have pushed himself a little bit further. But a talented boy. And yeah. I don't know if you remember his goal at Arsenal.
I remember that. I don't think that's the only goal he's got against us, actually.
Yeah.
I think he scored a free kick against us in the past as well.
Yeah. No, so them two would be perfect playing together. So, yeah, two midfielders, Tugay and Klaus. He was actually, he was a good singer as well, Klaus. He used to play the guitar and he was actually probably talented at everything. So, great lad. Really good guy as well.
So, are you doing sort of like left and right or?
Yeah. So, I'll go over to the left. I started my career at Middlesbrough. I played with Alan Moore. Alan Moore burst onto the scene at Middlesbrough and, like, out and out left winger, quick feet, pacey, scored goals. He just didn't kick on from his time at Middlesbrough. I think he had bad injuries as well. Played with Ricardo Gardner at Bolton, who was a good left winger at the time. But there's only one real left winger that was an out-and-out winger who used to terrorise fullbacks and put great balls in the box was Damien Duff.
Oh, yes. I
played with him briefly at Blackburn. And
you would have got him in his, I think that was his absolute peak.
The final seasons
at Blackburn.
Yeah, then he went to he went to Chelsea and he took off again, didn't he? He was so quick, like quick off the mark. You know, put good crosses in. But, yeah, he would give most fullbacks a tough time. So Damien Duff gets in at left wing. I mean, I played with Scott Sellers, I said to you early on, at Bolton. And bloody hell, Scott, Scott was an outstanding footballer as well. But at the time, Scott was getting a little bit older. Damien was, you know, coming into his peak. So, yeah, Damien gets in ahead of Scott, but Scott was another outstanding footballer. Such a smart footballer.
Did you sort of think this guy's going to be off to go to a bigger, well, you know, Chelsea were a bigger club, but, you know, like they top four?
I think he went there and won titles, didn't he, Damien? Did he win titles? But did it?
Yeah,
I think he might have done. Most of us knew that he would go on and have a great career. You know, I don't know how many caps he got for the Republic and honours.
He's in the top 10 for that.
Yeah, no, he was such a good player. Yeah. So Damien gets in at left wing. He was a proper out and out winger. He's not like one of the wingers that comes in now and stands in the pockets. He would get wide and try and isolate his fullback for 1v1s, and you know he excited the crowd as well. So Damien gets in, and you know him and Chrissy Powell bombing up and down the left wing, that would be a decent force.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So the other side.
So the other side, I played with this guy only a few times, but when I played with him, he played up front. And he was actually he was getting on a little bit as I played with him. But my dad signed him from, might have been Leeds at Middlesbrough. I ended up playing with him a couple of times, but only a few times. But I used to watch him as a kid and on the terraces at Middlesbrough. And I was fortunate enough to play with him. And he scored one of the best goals I've ever seen for Middlesbrough. In fact, one of the best goals I've seen live. For Middlesbrough against Millwall, I think he picked the ball up in his own half and went on to take on about five or six players and slotted in. There was a winger called John Hendry. He was predominantly, he played a lot up front, or he played up front when I played with him, but I just used to really like John Hendry. And he gets in. I mean, I played with David Thompson at Blackburn, who was in and around the England setup, but he had bad injuries. Brett Emerton, as you mentioned before. the Australian international, and Michael Johansson, the little Danish guy. But I liked wingers, Jack, and
yeah,
the two wingers I went for, I mean, were out and out wingers, especially John in his early days. He would just like commit defenders and take defenders on for fun. He might not beat them three or four times, but the fifth time he'd roast them and deliver a ball into the box. So it might be a bit of a surprise to a few people, but I'm putting John Endre in as a right winger. Purely because I like wingers as well.
Yeah, because I'm thinking about certainly to the kind of the Blackburn days particularly, which is, I guess, pretty well I know you best from. There wasn't, stuff, but then can't think of many kind of...
Well, I played... Kind of I mean, I did play with an outstanding winger at Blackburn who played right wing. You know, who would be in your squad was Keith Gillespie, who was another out-and-out winger.
Yeah.
Who was a flying machine, he was quick.
But by that point, was that a kind of coming to the end of his career then?
Yeah, Keith was, you know, he was in and out of the team and whatnot, but my word, when he picked the ball up, he could certainly commit defenders and he would ask questions and he could work, though. He was an honest boy. He'd help his fullback. And, you know, he had a little edge to him as well, Keith. I mean, he was a good lad in the dressing room. He was hilarious, good character, and a great winger. But I just had a soft spot for John Endre, and I was fortunate enough to play for him. And he was an outstanding winger when I played with him and when I watched him. But yeah, Keith Gillespie was another one who was outstanding. David Thompson was a great footballer who we signed from Coventry, I think, at Blackburn. And was, I think he was in the England squad, but he had bad injuries as well with his knees, David. So we didn't see the best of David because of his injuries, but he was a great footballer. So yeah, that's the two wingers, Damien Duff and John Henry. So on to the strikers.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see who takes out Colin York.
Yeah, I mean, not just Cole York. Sean Bartlett was another one, but Robbie Fowler. I played with Robbie at Perth Glory, who was the best finisher I've probably seen.
Yeah.
Like, he was just like made it look so easy. I mean, Coley and York he did, but Robbie was just natural. Like, you'd think, he won't score there, and then suddenly he'd score. And he certainly scored a few against me as well, which you would remind me of when we were together at Perth. he was a great finisher. But me and Robbie at the time were coming towards the end of our careers. We were probably 34, 35. So I was fortunate enough to play with Robbie. But two strikers. The first one was a guy I played with at Bolton. And my dad signed him. I think he was close to retiring. He was a young man, about 21, 22 when he came to Bolton. He came in on trial. We were over in the Republic of Ireland and he come in on trial. And this guy with long blonde curtains came in. And I think he must have been about 3 or 4 stone overweight. And he come in on trial. And I remember his first training session. And we were just like, Jesus Christ, this guy's good. He's clever. But he's a bit overweight. And you think, oh, wow, yeah, I mean, yeah, he's clever. I think my dad might have even asked, what was it like to play against in training? I went, yeah, he's clever. And I didn't know nothing about him. In the end, we signed him, and it was a guy called Ida Good Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he was, it didn't surprise me that he got himself going, got his weight down, and ended up playing for Chelsea.
So he was going to retire, you say?
He had a bad injury, close to, I don't know what happened, but he couldn't get, something happened where I think he'd gone back to Iceland, he had a bad injury, or something had gone on. I might be wrong there. In saying he was close to retiring, but I knew he had a bad injury and that he probably might have been struggling to get a club. And my dad brought him in on trial and my dad just said, we'll sign him, but you've got to get your weight down. And I mean, he was so good to play with for me. Yeah. He was deceptively quick. He was strong, so he could get his backside in and hold defenders off. His movement, like just to pull people out of position, just, you know, he was just so smart. He'd play cat and mouse with his defender. Goals, scored some great goals, and then obviously went on to have an unbelievable career, but to Chelsea, to then Barcelona, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I played with him a few times. Well, I think I had a full season and whatever with him at Bolton, and I really enjoyed playing with him. We seemed to hit, we understood each other, so I knew when what his movement was doing. Just so smart. So Ida Good Johnson gets in, and like I say, it all goes on the time I played with these players. So Cole and York, yeah, excellent. But the time I played with good Ida was, you know, he was a great striker. Excellent, yeah, excellent player.
I mean, he was top at Chelsea as well. Like, and
yeah.
Were you surprised when he moved back to midfield? Or did he kind of show signs of that anyway?
And I think he had the ability to do that, Jack. Like I said before, in my formation, you could play like a 4-2-3-1 with Ida dropping off and playing as a number 10. But his passing range and his technique was really good. So I think he had the ability to play in midfield. But yeah, as a striker, he gets in my team, especially when he was fully fit. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
So yeah, he goes in as your 10 or your striker. And my other number nine, if you want to call him a number nine, was a guy I played with at Blackburn, who came in and was outstanding for Blackburn. And this guy was unpredictable. He'd score great goals. His feet were quick. He, you know, caused problems. He was wiry. He was durable. He was quite physical, like bubbly character. You know, wanted to showboat a little bit, wanted to excite the fans, was Benny McCarthy. Had a season with Benny.
Was it just the one season he was at Blackburn?
I think he might have had a couple, but I obviously moved on.
Yeah, he was one of the top scorers in the league, wasn't he?
Yeah, and like, you know, I played with Craig Bellamy at Blackburn. He was an outstanding player, but I just think the combination with them two was, you know, they'd be a handful for any defenders, them two. On his day, I don't know what happened to Benny after he left Blackburn. He didn't hit it off. I think he did go to West Ham.
Yeah, I think
he went to West Ham, and it didn't work out for him, Jack. But at the time he was at Blackburn, he was smart as well. His movement was good. He was sharp. I mean, you don't play for the clubs he played for without being an intelligent footballer. So, Benny gets in to play with Ida Good Johnson. I just think they'd be a great partnership.
I like that a lot. And I think without Benny McCarthy, Mourinho wouldn't be at the career he had, wasn't it?
Well, that's it. Yeah,
he was the one that knocked Man United out.
Yeah, so possibly.
Got a couple of goals against him.
Yeah, he was such a good player, Jack. Like, I don't think people realise how strong and durable he was, and like his movement was sharp. He was, you know, he was tricky as well, and he loved scoring goals.
Yeah,
you know, he had a passion for it, and he knew where the net was, certainly. So yeah, Benny, outstanding footballer. I think he's just gone in at Man U, hasn't he? He's gone in as a
coaching or something.
I think so. Yeah, he's gone in there. So hopefully, he can pass his knowledge on to the boys at Man U.
Oh, hopefully not too much.
No, not for you.
Yeah, but yeah, he was a top player. That's a proper. I've not heard that name for a while, actually. But
yeah, I mean, it probably surprises you. You know, the game, like the players I've mentioned: Bellamy, Cole York, Sean Barlett. I think it was Jonathan Johansson was a good striker.
Mm.
Bob Taylor, Nathan Blake, you know, great strikers, but I just thought them two were the best I've played with at the time.
Yeah, I think they go well together as well, which is
part of it,
I think, isn't it?
I mean, if I'd played with Dwight and Andy when they were a bit younger, then you're having a different conversation, because them two were a proper partnership as well, weren't they? So, but yeah, at the time, it goes off when I played with them at that time in of our careers.
Yeah. Okay. And in terms of, if you had someone to manage this side, so the, I suppose the best manager that you played under.
Yeah, tough one. I played under some good managers, and Brian Robson at Middlesbrough, and then my dad at Bolton. Alan Kirbishley did a great job at Charlton, and then obviously a great job at West Ham to keep them up. He signed me from Bolton, and then I went up to Blackburn with Graham, who, looking back at it, you know, I really liked, you know, Graham. He gave me the opportunity to play for him. His knowledge of the game was outstanding, and I still like listening to him to this day on TV when he's
he's getting a lot of stick, but I think people don't realise, you know, some of the younger people, one, how much he won in his playing career.
Yeah.
And actually as a manager as well. Like,
yeah.
Even when was it Galatasaray, even went there and did the business. So,
I mean, people all have their opinions on the managers they work for, but looking back at the time, I probably didn't see what Graham's strengths were. But when I look back, I thought, yeah, you know, he knew his stuff. He wasn't frightened to tell you how it was. He wanted you to play in the right manner. Just think he probably would have benefited in this era with maybe a young coach who could have done most of the coaching for him, but his knowledge of the game and whatnot was... I mean, I actually asked my dad how good he was, because I thought Roy Keane was... Well, Roy Keane was one of my favourite players. And I asked my dad, you know, what was Roy and Graham? And my dad said Graham was, you know, as good, if not better than Roy. And I was like, wow, you know, that's a big statement. And so... That speaks volumes for him. My dad was saying, look, you know, Roy Keane was outstanding, which he was, but my dad said Graham was as good and possibly better, you know, so, yeah. But, yeah, going back to your question, Jack, you know, I think the one who probably gave me the kick up the backside I needed, and the one who gave me the best advice on how to defend and, you know, give me, you know, the bollockings I needed now and again was my dad. So I'd probably say my dad would have to go as manager. It sounds biased and whatnot, are you picking your dad as manager? But I can only say what I believe is the truth, and as for what he wanted from me and how the information he would give me. And I think he was the best. Like, I was learning from one of the best defenders the country has ever had.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't really coaching. It was just telling me, you know, what to do. Simple, only simple things where I thought, yeah. And then, I listened to him. And if it wasn't for him, I don't think I would have had the career I had. So my dad, I had some great managers. You know, Paul Jewell, I thought, was unlucky at Derby. I really enjoyed playing under Paul. Tough time at Derby. Even Stuart Gray at Northampton, I really enjoyed playing for him. So I played for some good managers, you know. But my dad was the one for me. Yeah. So my dad is manager. Yeah. But I'm not in the team. I'm not in the team though, so I'm all right. Manager.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about getting into I know you did sort of some assistant roles and stuff. Have you ever thought of being like a head coach or not?
I would have done, Jack. I would have liked the opportunity. I think I've probably just missed out. I'd even like to run, you know, semi-professional team, local team, but it's just getting that opportunity. And I just think I won't ever give up. You always have dreams and aspirations of becoming a manager, but you just... Yeah, I don't know. I'd love the opportunity just to have a go at it, but You never say never, but yeah, I don't think that day will come, unfortunately.
And then I've just got a couple more questions. So one is the best stadium you've ever played in.
Oh, best stadium. I mean, I played in the old Wembley, which should have been one of the best, but it was a disastrous day out. We got beat off Watford in the playoff final.
Okay, yeah. So when Kevin Phillips was he still there at that point?
No, it was the guy that scored the overhead kick was Wright. Was it Nicky Wright? He scored an overhead kick from a corner.
Okay, yeah.
And then Alan Smart caught us on the break for the second. And we just didn't really turn up. So we lost at Wembley 2-0 to Watford in the playoff final. And it wasn't a good memory. But playing at the old Wembley was special, even though we got beat. And then obviously the obvious ones, the Emirates, Old Highbury, Spurs, but Man United's, you know, Man United's was special. I actually played at the Man City Stadium, the new one.
Oh, yeah, it had, yeah.
Yeah, but I think the best stadium, I'd have to say the Emirates was probably the best stadium. The pitch was immaculate. It's the biggest pitch I've ever played on. It was huge. Great stadium. Everything, the dressing rooms, everything about it. So obviously Old Trafford was special, but I'd probably have to say the Emirates was probably the best I've played in.
Okay. And you probably get asked a lot about the best player you played against, so I'll ask the most underrated player that you've played against.
Underrated? God, I've never been asked that, Jack. Do you know there's one guy I played against who was probably underrated and so unpredictable. There's two of them, actually. I always found them really difficult to play against, probably because they were tall and really, like, rangy, long legs and long arms. There's one called Freddie Canute.
Oh, yes.
It's Spurs. I don't think he did as well as he probably could have done, but he was so awkward.
He went to Spain, though. He was very...
Yeah. So. Yeah. He was so awkward. You think, I've got the ball, and he's long-legged, calm. And then there was that, obviously, that Paolo one-shop at Derby.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah.
Like, he was a bit unpredictable. You know, even Adebayor, but I don't think Adebayor was underrated, was he? You know, you're an Arsenal fan, Jack. I don't know how he's perceived.
It's 5 or 6 now. I was at that game.
Yeah.
Derby one.
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, he was difficult to play against, but I don't know. I mean, you know, Robbie Keane was an outstanding footballer, but he wasn't underrated. So, I think he'd probably say Freddie Canute was. Because I don't think he got the recognition he probably deserved in England, did he? I don't think it quite worked out as well at Tottenham. I don't think Tottenham were that great at the time. But he was a good player and should have done better.
He was at West Ham, and I think because he went to Tottenham, I think he got a lot of stick for that anyway. So they were never going to kind of think fondly of him.
Yeah. So he's probably the most underrated, off the top of my head, Jack. I've not been asked that before. Yeah.
That's interesting, Andy, it's been a pleasure having you on and talking through, well, not just the players you play with, but just kind of your career and your thoughts on it all in general. And before we let you go, anything you sort of want to plug or let the listeners know you're sort of up to at the minute?
No, I'm working for a local building company in Derbyshire, but it's always nice, you know, to talk about your career a little bit. I mean, I'm quite a humble guy and try not to, you know, I try to go under the radar a little bit, but it's always nice to look back and talk about the players you played with. You know, I wasn't the best player, but I was fortunate enough to have an okay career and fortunate enough to play with some excellent footballers and some good managers and met some good people along the way. And so I thank you for giving me the opportunity to just to look back now and again and remember what I actually went through, because it goes so quick and, you know, your career is over before you know it. And it is nice to look back and remember some good times, yeah. So I appreciate that. The interview, no,
pleasure, Jack. Pleasure all mine. Thanks for joining us. And remember, guys, to keep it.